Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. Today, we will discuss an important and evergreen topic, and it's security, specifically endpoint or PC security. The topic is as old as PCs and software, of course, and it is continuously evolving. When it comes to enterprise security and enterprise devices, it's one of the most important and business critical considerations. Security related applications, as we all know, are increasingly becoming heavy. And since they run 100% of the time that PC is running, consume considerable amount of resources. Many users like me might have observed that anytime you install the corporate image or the enterprise image on brand new PCs, you'll see noticeable drop in performance because of all the heaviness of security as well as device management applications that are part of these images. With the adoption of AI PCs, the security landscape is profoundly changing as well. You know, AI is considerably increasing the attack surface, sophistication of these attacks, as well as its impact. At the same time, it is providing better tools to fight against these attacks and provide better protection. Specifically on enterprise PCs, the hope was with NPUs that come as part of AI PCs, will run much of the AI workload, able to run these security and device management applications as well, and run them in much more efficient way and reduce the taxing of these on the overall device performance. I'm not yet sure how that is progressing. To discuss all those questions and other things, we have with us today Nima Payati, Vice President of Commercial Software and Security Solutions at Lenovo. Nima, welcome to the show.
Prakash, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Excellent. So let's get started with it. Could you tell us about your background and your current roles and responsibilities at Lenovo?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you again for having me, Prakash. So at Lenovo, I lead our software and cybersecurity solutions business. Mm-hmm. So that includes a portfolio of everything around device management and orchestration solutions, productivity solutions that we have, all mm-hmm. the way through, of course, cybersecurity solutions. And our portfolio consists of both first-party Lenovo IP solutions mm-hmm. that we have, as well as we partner with best-in-breed providers to deliver these capabilities. I've got a background in principally in software and software product management, having led and run product teams and product offerings both here at Lenovo as well as in my previous roles at different companies.
Excellent. So as I mentioned, I mean, the device and endpoint security landscape is continuously changing, especially with the proliferation of AI. Could you tell us how it's been and what are the things that are keeping you awake at night?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great question, right? I mean, I think what's happened is we're now in an era where the endpoint is the most valuable asset. Mm-hmm. When we and really, it's, let me caveat that or nuance that answer a little bit. Sure. Data is the most valuable asset, but it resides at the endpoint.
Of course.
And we really saw this transition happen coming through and out of the pandemic, where we had workers working remotely, mm-hmm. moving into a hybrid era of working. Mm-hmm. And especially now when you have hybrid cloud environments, hybrid AI environments, mm-hmm. really the endpoint is that most valuable asset.
Yep.
Now, what AI is doing with this, right? AI has a tremendous amount of capabilities and benefits that it can bring to market, right? When we look at mm-hmm. the value add and the benefits that AI has in things, for example, or in health mm-hmm. around being able to leverage artificial intelligence to look at radiological images, to be able to help with early detection of cancer, to be able to help with pharmaceutical research, to help in financial analysis. Mm-hmm. Obviously, tremendous amount of benefits with AI.
Yep.
But what it's also doing is, just like with everything that's good in life, there's a flip side, right? There's that double-edged sword.
Yep.
And so what it's doing is it's expanding the attack surface, really in both directions. Mm-hmm. We're seeing adversaries weaponizing AI. And they're weaponizing it by being able to accelerate reconnaissance, mm-hmm. right? Things that were pretty intensive a couple of years ago to be able to do reconnaissance against a target, mm-hmm. adversaries are now using AI to accelerate that process. They're being able to help use or using AI to be able to help develop exploits. Mm-hmm. Social engineering,
yeah.
A huge area of advancement that adversaries are taking with AI.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we can all remember a couple of years ago, even, you know, getting, you know, these phishing emails that had poor grammar. You know, they looked like they were put together, you know, on the fly. To now, you can use AI to craft a really, really professional looking email, for example, and be able to use that in a phishing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to use AI for social engineering. And what we're also seeing is the proliferation of these AI agents, things like browser extensions, MCP servers, non-binary software on endpoints is creating an entirely new class of ungoverned software
yep.
that traditional security solutions can't see. And so this is why it's becoming critically important, especially at the endpoint, especially when we talk about detection and response,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that we're using best in breed AI to be able to detect and respond, and in many cases to help us remediate those types of attacks. Now, when we look even below the operating system layer, right? Mm-hmm. When we look at below the software layer and we look at things like firmware and hardware,
yeah.
we know, again, one doesn't need to look very far in any area of the news, whether it's today or 3 years ago or 4 or 5 years ago coming out of the pandemic or going through the pandemic, we know the global supply chain is incredibly, incredibly complex
yep.
and incredibly interconnected. And so when we talk about things around firmware and hardware tampering, these also become a critical area of focus and, you know, an area where we at Lenovo are especially leaning into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, of course. And could you tell us how Lenovo is dealing with this, not only traditional, but also the enhanced security challenges that AI is posing?
Yeah, so we built our ThinkShield platform and our, you know, ThinkShield, Lenovo ThinkShield is our cybersecurity platform for our devices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, outside of having you know, very stringent and you know, kind of leading best practices when it comes to our supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're Gartner top 10 recognized global supply chain.
Mm-hmm.
We built our ThinkShield cybersecurity platform fundamentally different than other approaches to security that exist in the market because we start actually at the supply chain and the hardware itself. So when I talk about starting at the supply chain,
uh-huh.
we've partnered, for example, with Intel to build Lenovo Build Assure mm-hmm. or Lenovo ThinkShield Build Assure.
Okay.
Being able to provide customers a view into the components that are actually in that device, the physical components that are in the device,
mm-hmm.
so that when an IT professional, for example, at the end customer is getting that device and is going to now provision it to the user,
mm-hmm.
they can actually see, hey, are the components that are in this device, are they legitimate? Have they been tampered with at any point in the supply chain? Because what we're doing in that case is at manufacturing, taking golden images mm-hmm. of those critical components
yeah.
and then providing a way of validation for that IT professional to be able to validate those components. So really starting at the supply chain,
mm-hmm.
starting at the hardware, starting below the operating system where we have capabilities like self-healing BIOS,
mm-hmm.
firmware resiliency, firmware assurance,
mm-hmm.
really focusing on everything that goes in from the point of manufacturing to the moment that you boot up the device. And then once you're now kind of operational,
mm-hmm.
we partner with SentinelOne on bringing together, you know, best in breed XDR capabilities using contextual behavioral based artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
to be able to detect and remediate against threats.
Mm-hmm.
We can wrap those types of capabilities with our own professional services or our own managed security services if a customer so desires,
mm-hmm.
or incorporate them into their environment.
Mm-hmm.
We have partnerships with Cygent, for example, for hardware-level data encryption.
Mm-hmm.
We've partnered with best-in-breed Sepio for rogue device and port protection.
Mm-hmm.
We've got solutions that are Lenovo IP around Lenovo device orchestration, which gives an IT team a full view of what devices that they have, what is their health status, how are they configured, and being able to manage those configurations. Because if, again, you're not even configured in the way or in a safe manner, really everything else is kind of moot. So the approach that we've taken at Lenovo is really leveraging our ThinkShield platform to go end to end at each one of those critical stages.
Yeah, indeed. And I think the security from the supply chain point of view is very critical as well, because, you know, in last few years, that has become a main battlefront as well, right? Rather than just making sure the product, once it is in the user's hands, is well protected, right?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, when we are moving into this AI PC era that I mentioned in my monologue, the whole security landscape is changing because of AI, and also now you have powerful tools to fight it against as well, right? So how the evolution of security, not only from applications and then you know, development point of view, but also from the whole protecting the devices itself, right? With this new AI era has been changing.
Yeah, so you know, again, like I think, you know, AI presents this kind of this double-edged sword, right? Of tremendous amount of capabilities and benefits on one hand, also real concerns around how it can be used, one, maliciously, concerns around privacy, concerns around governance, all real and legitimate lens that any CIO, CSO, any organization really needs to be looking through and being able to approach how they use and how they incorporate and how they leverage AI internally and within their enterprise. With AI, there is a tremendous amount on the other end, though, benefits when we look at security. Like if, even if we look at, for example, the work of a SOC, right? If you look at the work of a security analyst, there is no humanly way, or there's that, you know, a human being can possibly keep up with the number of threats and alerts that are coming in through within even a 24-hour period. So being able to help augment that workload with AI to be able to bring to the top of the stack those alerts that require human intervention, human investigation is a real area of ROI.
And again, as I mentioned, with NPUs, AI PCs, the hope was you could utilize NPU for much of the security and device management kind of applications, right? Which are running all the time, taxing the processor itself. So how that has impacted and changed how security software is written and executed?
Yeah, so you know, NPU, the promise of the NPU is absolutely real, right? I mean, we from Lenovo's standpoint, we believe in a hybrid AI approach, and so that means you're going to be running, depending on what you're using the workload for, you're going to be running some workloads locally. We are going to need to lean into that NPU, and you're going to need to lean into that compute capability, and you're going to be running some workloads not local, right? Again, depending on what you're using it for. I think on the local NPU usage, one of the challenges that we're seeing ISV starting to work through is that the migration is got three kind of forks that they need to get through. The first is the ISVs will need to re-architect and optimize the machine learning models for those specific NPU runtimes. And it's not just, obviously, you know this very well, you're not just talking about one silicon vendor, right? You've got a few different silicon vendors. And so that's obviously not a, a non-trivial engineering effort. The second piece of what ISVs are working through is the NPU instruction sets and capabilities differ across those silicon vendors. And so kind of traditionally, if I was developing software, I could almost take the, I'm going to write the code once and I can kind of deliver anywhere, run anywhere, right? If it's like an x86 platform, this, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, with the NPU piece, and you've got, you know, each vendor has their own instruction sets. It's not as kind of rinse and repeat as it is, you know, in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, it is kind of the, I'd say, the third piece, and this is where really from our standpoint at Lenovo, we really lean in, is we work very closely, given our size and our breadth and our scope.
Yeah.
We have the ability to work very closely with the silicon vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we incorporate or bring something into our, let's say, our ThinkShield portfolio,
yeah,
we do a tremendous amount of performance testing on our end.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the areas, and you mentioned it, right, is the is battery performance.
Yeah.
Right. We know there, you know, increasingly as the technology advances, not just from a cybersecurity standpoint, but even just from an overall application standpoint,
mm-hmm.
you know, your typical PC now has a myriad of different applications running on it. Some of those applications are running in the background, some are not, but it's a workload that's being put on that device.
Yeah.
And so again, from our standpoint, we do a lot of testing and a lot of work with the ISVs who we partner with,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that, you know, we're optimizing performance when it comes to a Lenovo device.
Very well. And as you put it, so there's basically the app developers and the security software developers, and you as the providers, you know, putting all this together on the PC, and the CIOs, IT managers, and others who manage it, right? So
mm-hmm.
I think the realization of the importance of NPU on these key stakeholders, is it universal? All of them realize the importance of NPU, or there is still room for, you know, teaching some of the folks on either the importance or how to do it, or what is the level of, I guess, the awareness and the urgency across these stakeholders?
Yeah, that's a really great question, Prakash. And I'd say it's kind of a mixed bag.
Uh-huh.
And I say a mixed bag in the sense that, you know, if you were to ask me this question a couple of years ago, I'd say that there was a less sense of urgency,
mm-hmm.
A far less sense of urgency from the ISV world in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think today that sense of urgency is being driven much more. And it goes ultimately back to business model, or, you know, it goes back to business considerations,
uh-huh.
right? I mean, if let's take endpoint detection and response as an example.
Uh-huh.
You know, traditionally, if I was an EDR vendor,
uh-huh.
you know, my competitive, you know, talking points are going to be around my efficacy, you know, time to detection, time to remediation, how well I do detection.
Uh-huh.
And increasingly what we're seeing and what we've been seeing is that IT teams are looking at performance and the workload burden that these applications are putting onto that endpoint device. Because again, what we just were talking about, you know, your endpoint device today being the most critical asset is running a tremendous number of applications just in the background on it,
mm-hmm.
never mind what the actual user is doing, you know, working with, you know, PowerPoint and browser-based applications and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And so increasingly buying this, part of the buying conversation
mm-hmm.
has been shifting to
mm-hmm.
performance in terms of what's my battery life performance like?
Yeah.
What is the performance degradation or potential performance degradation that this application can have on my device?
Uh-huh.
And so I think ISVs have increasingly been waking up to this because customers are increasingly driving it as a top of mind conversation.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, you know, talking to some of the ISVs, the security ISVs, that is, you know, I did realize the business aspect and considerations that you mentioned. Their differentiation or claim to fame, if you will, was more on how good of a security software it is in terms of protection and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Although the battery life and performance impact of running these were considerations, but they're not the top of the line for them. And more importantly, they were not evaluated based on battery performance, for example, of these applications on a device. So they said, you know, moving these applications to NPU is a lot of work. Of course it is, as you mentioned, especially with different SoCs and so on. But at the same time, this additional work is not bringing in any additional revenue, because it is the same security software and the same protection that they are providing, and they are held against in terms of performance, right? So I saw there's kind of a challenge in terms of making it a priority across the board. I think making sure the end users and the CIOs and the IT managers understand the importance is critical in that sense. So do you see that as a challenge as such, or it's not?
I do. I mean, I think, again, it goes back to, you know, what we were just talking about, of how are, you know, these ISVs being measured?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I've worked in cybersecurity for a long time. I worked in software for a long time. And I remember, you know, in the early days when things like, let's say, EDR were first coming out,
yeah,
or at the time, you know, next gen antivirus, you know, it was all about, you know, your marketing claim was efficacy, right? Yeah. Or 99.99% efficacy. And then the next person comes out, we're 99.999% efficacy, right?
Yeah.
Now where you're in a place where roughly speaking, you know, you've got a couple of clear leaders in each of these markets, areas of differentiation really start to come down to, okay, well, how well is performance?
Yep.
How well does it work with productivity in my environment? I mean, none of us like to be sitting in front of a device and be in the middle of doing some work and all of a sudden, you know, something freezes, or applications freeze, or, you know, an update gets pushed out by the software vendor unbeknownst to anybody else, and it brings down entire systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so those types of things increasingly are top of mind.
Okay. And so for this migration, is it purely they kind of stating the requirements to the providers, or do they have to do any work on their side and other software that they have to make sure they're compatible, in the sense that, are there any frictions in terms of adopting, even if you guys and your ISVs come up with the solutions to migrate many of these things to NPU, are there any issues that the enterprise themselves have to work on before this transition happens?
Yeah. So again, I think it's a team effort.
Yeah.
So on one hand, you know, it's customers, the users, and really we're seeing increasingly one of the things that is happening in the software world is software decisions are moving out of being made solely by, let's say, the CIO's office to being made by department heads and functional groups.
Okay.
Especially in an era where we have rapidly changing requirements. I will say in general, you know, cybersecurity, I would say, is the caveat to that, where cybersecurity is coming, obviously, you know, from it's a corporate or, you know, corporate-based decision. You have uniformity in your environment.
Yeah.
But, you know, you work with an engineering department or an engineering team inside of an organization, and they've got a set of requirements that are going to be vastly different than, for example, the finance team or the HR team.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, on our end, we spend a tremendous amount of time with our customers, really getting to understand our customers, really getting to understand their pain points. But more than that, our approach, I would say, is fundamentally different than some of the rest of the market, where I think there's, in my perspective, there are kind of two big ways that you can go about security from a, you know, a provider or software from a provider provider's lens. One is you can go out and talk about all the great things that you can do. The other is you can go and actually understand what problems you're trying to solve for, right? And when you try and understand the problems that exist or the challenges that exist or what the customer is trying to solve for, then what we do is, if the ideal solution for that doesn't exist, we can help architect that, not just ourselves internally, but again, using our ecosystem of ISV vendors and our ISV partners to come up with a mutually beneficial solution for everybody involved, right? Because we start to see, you know, you start to very clearly and very quickly start to see trends and patterns when you talk to as many customers as we do.
Yeah.
And you're able to connect the dots between here are the pain points and actually, you know, how customers are using software mm-hmm. or how software is working with each other
mm-hmm.
and working then with the Silicon ecosystem, working with the ISV ecosystem to find the solution that ticks boxes for everybody in that value chain.
Okay. Is something being worked on to incentivize ISVs? Of course, as you mentioned, you work closely, you try to understand the business needs of your customers and make sure you and your ISV partners develop solutions to that. But specifically in terms of moving these applications to NPU, are there any incentives and other things that you're working on to encourage the ecosystem to move this and make this migration faster and smoother in terms of, for example, the impact of, you know, images and the security applications on the battery life is one of the main key considerations in terms of, you know, evaluating and comparing different providers.
Those are definitely considerations that we look at now.
Yeah.
And we've looked at for a while, right? Because again, especially when you talk about large enterprise,
yeah.
large enterprises are going to have their own images, right?
Right.
And they're going to have incredibly complex images
yeah.
that really, you're not necessarily going to have a reference model for that image.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we work with and one of the things that's part of our evaluation when we look at our ISV ecosystem
mm-hmm.
is the capabilities and the ability for that ISV to, you know, what's their engineering like?
Mm-hmm.
How responsive are they? And again, it goes a long way when you can take to one of your business partners, like, you know, somebody in our ISV ecosystem, actual customer requirements
mm-hmm.
That in a lot of cases, some ISVs may not have, right? Again, I mean, as Lenovo, one of the benefits that we have is, you know, we're the largest PC OEM in the world.
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, we have very strong and deep relationships with our customers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of trust that we've built up with our customers over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And we also use ourselves as a reference point, right? Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we're a massive organization with manufacturing, R&D, sales office footprints globally.
Yep.
And so we're able to use ourselves as a reference with our own customers, as well as with those ISVs who we partner with,
yeah.
of being able to start to build, you know, best practices.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like kind of eat your dog food before you sell, right?
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also with your leadership, I mean, you kind of, tread the road for others, right? Because of your scale and size, you can basically lead the market and learn from your experience and then, you know, pave the way for others to follow, right? So that's, I think, you know, positions you in a unique situation, I guess, on this front.
Yeah, exactly. And we, again, you know, we really lean into that at Lenovo. I mean, we've got, you know, one of the things that I love about this, mm-hmm. this company is, you know, our rich, you know, DNA when it comes to R&D. And so we really lean into that.
Yeah.
Especially working with our ISV ecosystems and the partnerships that we drive with our customers.
Yeah. And do you think, I mean, is it more of individual companies and the partnership working on this front, or is there a larger industry-wide push needed, you know, in terms of either kind of standardization or something like that? Anything of that sort is happening or needed, you think?
I think again, it's a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, the ISVs have the incentive, right? They have the business incentive,
mm-hmm.
right? So the business incentive piece drives and will drive a lot of that, let's say, you know, conformity to what customers are requiring. And if we reference back to the conversation around, you know, on-device performance,
uh-huh.
when the business outcome is dictating that, you know, you're either going to win or lose this opportunity
yeah.
based on how well you perform on the device, then that drives and helps prioritize roadmaps and backlogs and R&D effort. The other side of it is, you know, there's what you were mentioning about, you know, standardization or standards based. And I think that there's definitely, you know, areas in where, like, you know, you drive for those, that standardization of those standards.
Yeah.
And I think, like, if you look at, for example, in security, you know, looking at the NIST standards as an example, right? I think that's an area where, you know, we have a lot of conversations with customers around, and it's, you know, everybody's, by and large, most customers, regardless of, you know, really where you are in the world, are talking about, you know, NIST standards. And so that is an area where there's been a tremendous amount of, you know, to go back to what you mentioned, you know, call it, for lack of a better phrase, help in standardizing the efficacy of these products.
Yeah. And also, like you pointed out, I mean, there are different architectures, all NPUs are different, right? The one from Intel is different from AMD and from, say, Qualcomm, for example, right? So, you know, driving something common across these, I think that's where standards could play a key role. Okay, moving on to agentic AI, which is the latest buzz these days. How is that impacting security, positively or negatively?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at this one, right? From a security standpoint. Again, I think, like everything we've been talking about, there's two sides to the coin. I think there are, you know, benefits to what you can do with agentic AI. I mean, if you look at even, you know, what Anthropic announced a couple of weeks ago, and kind of the immediate, call it, impact that had on a lot of security, a lot of the security company stocks, right? I think the reality, though, is no organization is going to, you know, turn over the keys to the house, the keys to the kingdom to agentic AI and hope for the best. It's almost a crazy thing to you know, to think about. I think there are areas for sure that agentic AI is helpful and will be increasingly helpful when it comes, for example, automating some of these tasks, right? If we go back and look at the example that I mentioned a few minutes ago around using AI in security analysis, right? Looking through alerts that are coming in. You know, there are areas where having these agents helping you triage and orchestrate is definitely valuable. The flip side is, you know, when we hear conversations taking place in the by folks in the market of saying, well, agents are going to be taking over everything, and companies are, you know, agentic AI is going to completely run cybersecurity. I think that's fanciful. I think you're going to be hard pressed to find a CIO or a CSO in any organization who's going to say, yeah, sure, here you go, here are the keys, knock yourself out. Like, that's,
But they are kind of adopting some of it to automate tasks, right?
And for sure, the automation of some tasks. Automation of tasks, very controlled settings is, I think, where there's value. I think what we were seeing, you know, in the media a couple of weeks ago was, you know, agentic AI is just gonna, you know, gonna take care of everybody's cybersecurity in these companies is entirely fanciful.
I mean, you still need a man in the middle for sure.
You absolutely need the human intervention. You absolutely need controls. You absolutely need layers of defense. Even to turn over your own personal environment. I mean, we saw, well, you know, it was in the news a couple of weeks ago. You know, I won't name names or whatever, but it was, you know, obviously out in the media that someone inside of an organization gave, you know, one of these agentic tools access to their system, and it started deleting all their emails.
It definitely needs a lot of good, solid guardrails before you let the agents in, right? And some of the things I see is the response time can be much faster if you utilize agents in a better way.
Yes.
For example, you know, the time something is identified, before action takes place, that I think there's a lot of scope to employ agents, not depending on people, but automated engines doing it, of course, with the supervision of the humans.
Yes.
So any other key things that you can talk about in terms of trends and how things are changing, moving, evolving on the security space?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think right now it's all about AI privacy, AI governance.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about for years how, you know, data is the new oil, right? Or data is new gold or whatever, you know, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, AI obviously needs data and it needs a lot of data.
Yeah.
And so one of the primary conversations that I've been having as of late when I'm speaking to organizations is around AI privacy, AI governance, and really around kind of what, again, going back to what we've been talking about here for the better part of, you know, half an hour of how can I use AI to improve my posture,
mm-hmm.
Use it for detection and response,
mm-hmm.
but also where can I use it for things like management and orchestration of my devices, management and orchestration of my environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think increasingly that's going to become something, or that's going to be an area where organizations are going to be leaning more into, mm-hmm. is how can I use AI,
mm-hmm.
not just kind of in the, you know, I'm going to say kind of in the air quotes of the traditional sense of, you know, where we've been kind of leaning into it from a security standpoint,
mm-hmm.
around automating detection and remediation, but also being able to use it for management and orchestration of the device, management and orchestration of the endpoint.
Okay. Security is such a fascinating subject, right? We can keep talking all day, but still have a lot of questions unanswered. It's the last one for you for the day. Again, going back to my pet peeve about you know, moving these things to NPU. When do you think we would be at a state saying, hey, we are moved over, we are utilizing NPUs for security in the best way possible? You know, a large part of the industry has moved to that stage. And if you brought your crystal ball today to the conversation, when do you think we'll be at that point in terms of timelines?
Yeah, so I think, again, going back and looking at, you know, kind of those challenges,
mm-hmm.
Of what ISVs need to work through.
Mm-hmm.
I think the hardware is, you know, let's call it, you know, hardware readiness is there, right? I mean, Lenovo is, you know, we're a leader in AI PCs.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we're, you know, people are already, you know, shipping and running 40 plus TOPS NPUs, mm-hmm. right? We saw at CES earlier this year, you know, 50-80 TOPS.
Yep.
It's really the software utilization piece. And I think what we're going to start to see is, especially as you've got,
mm-hmm.
this level of compute capability on the endpoint,
mm-hmm.
you're going to start getting to a place where inference, especially security inference,
mm-hmm.
I'd say, you know, in the nearer term, mm-hmm. is going to be moving to, you know, leveraging NPU. I think as you look out kind of midterm and longer term,
mm-hmm.
it's going to start to trickle down into, you know, other types of applications. Generally, you know, and, you know, you and I have, you know, been talking about this now,
mm-hmm.
You know, security kind of leads the tip of the spear in terms of how, you know, these types of technological capabilities are used, and then others start to follow.
Okay. All right. So now we are in for like a few years, I'm assuming, if I can paraphrase your answer.
I think it's going to be a staged approach, right? Okay. I mean, I think I always am reticent to give, you know, year timelines, just because at the pace and rate everything is moving, it's like the weatherman who tells you, you know, hey, it's going to rain in 2 days and it's sunny.
Yeah.
You know, I think if anybody gives predictions on especially anything beyond, you know, 12 months, I think that's kind of, you know, finger in the air trying to see which way the wind blows. But I do think near term, let's say, you know, within the next year, I think we're going to start to see a lot more of the security applications start to really lean into NPU utilization.
Perfect. That's a great point to stop. Thank you very much for all of your insight. This has been a great discussion.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure speaking with you.
So folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you are listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye-bye for now.